You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
I have asked the ushers to go through the offering today, and we're going to do something a little special. The one that wrote the biggest check today will leave here with a free roll of toilet tissue. Sorry about those that are on podcast. You weren't here for that gift offer. But today, if you will send into this ministry a gift, a one-time gift of $2,500, we will send you a roll of toilet paper for your one-time gift. Please put on your check offer 10773654322. That would be, again, offer number. The definition of the word panic in the dictionary: a sudden, unreasoning fear spreading quickly. I'm thrilled you're here today. The title of today's message is Stop the Panic. The definition of panic is a sudden, unreasoning fear spreading quickly. We have in our nation's history many, many times that we've had to deal with fear that wanted to lead us into panic. I can't imagine living through World War I, living through World War II. Our nation has seen plagues that have wiped out tens of thousands of people. The Civil War, I can't imagine living in those times. We had a panic in my life, 9/11, very difficult time for our nation to navigate through. I don't know why we're not mentioning it right now, but H1N1, that flu was an unknown strand of flu that killed thousands of people across our nation. And we're acting like that we didn't make it through that strand of flu that came through here. But this is unlike anything in my lifetime. I've never experienced the definition of the word panic like I'm seeing unfolded in my lifetime. Never before in the history of our world have we had such a media presence. Instant media, worldwide instant communication. What, 600-800 channels on our TV that we have access to. That just the communication on your phone is more than you can possibly get to. It's just second by second, worldwide, instant on your phone. And while this is absolutely a great time in the history of the world to be alive, it's a privilege to have this kind of communication available to us. The media, with all its abundant and overwhelming privileges, has a tremendous responsibility. You think about this: to educate the population of the world, to provide warnings of impending tornadoes and hurricanes and flood disease outbreaks. This is a life-saving tool of unprecedented measurements. To think about being in a deep sleep, an alarm go off on your phone, wakes you up, and tells you a tornado is 5 minutes from your house to take cover. Church, that's life-saving. That's powerful. That's a powerful tool. That's life-saving. And I can't today appreciate the technology enough. I can't appreciate the founders, the inventors, those that make it all happen. I can't appreciate them enough. I'm telling you, what we are doing just here in this ministry with the media is we've had thousands and thousands of hits on our video. Tens of thousands of the numbers are unbelievable that watch our podcast. I can't appreciate the media and the communication stream that we have. I can't appreciate it enough. But church, this comes with a tremendous responsibility. And without a doubt, the coverage of this coronavirus has way overstepped protocol and way overstepped what is the right thing to do for a culture and a civilization of people. The media should be held responsible for where the state of America is right now. The news should save lives, not destroy life. And we've got to stop this panic. We have, as a nation, to stop this panic. Fire is a great thing as long as it's kept in boundaries. But out of bounds, fire can cause great destruction. Water is a great thing. We can't live without water as long as it's kept in boundaries. But out of boundaries, it brings great destruction. Electricity is a wonderful, wonderful thing when it's kept in boundaries, when it's kept under control. But out of control, it brings great destruction. And our media is a great thing. But when it's out of control, it causes great destruction. And right now, it's out of control. It's out of control. Church, you have in your life great things. But it's up to you as an individual to keep control of what they do in you and to you in your own life. You have to take personal responsibility when this is enough. And Terry said the other day as she turned the TV off, I've heard enough of this. Somebody has got to be mature enough in your home to say, I've heard enough of this. I got to hear something else for a while. I've got to listen to something else for a while. And somebody, you as an individual, you got to know when I've had enough of this, this is taking me the wrong way in my thinking. No way today. No way will I stand here and say that the media is bad. It's a tremendous tool for us. A tremendous tool for us right here in this ministry. But I'm just telling you today, if you've allowed the media into your thinking and you have allowed the media to be more in your thinking than you've allowed God's Word to be in your thinking, your thoughts are being shaped by the wrong source today. This media coverage is causing far more devastation than any virus ever will. It's wrong. It's wrong what's been done. It's wrong what's being done. This virus will run its course. A vaccine will be created. Very, very soon, this will be a thing of our past. But out of panic right now, people, companies, large corporations are making decisions right now that will cost people for a lifetime. A lifetime of hurt, a lifetime of regret, a lifetime of disappointment is being caused for tens of millions of people right now, all because of the panic that's been created wrongly by this media. No doubt, we all need to be aware of. No doubt, we all need to be made aware of. It is flu season. And this time of year has always been flu season. The type of moisture, the type of temperature, what goes on in this environment produces a conducive atmosphere for the flu to survive, and so we call this flu season and have always called this flu season. This year, we happen to have a new strand. It's not the first new strand of flu that's been out there. There's countless new strands of flu that comes through. This flu is spreading quicker than usual. It's harder to detect than usual. Its incubation period is longer than usual. We haven't got a handle on how to treat it. Therefore, you need to wash your hands. Cover your mouth when you cough. Those with a weak immune system, avoid large crowds. You need to stay in this time of year. Drizzly rain, it's cold, it's windy. You don't need to be out right now. If you've got a one-week-old baby, don't take that baby to a concert. That's very unwise. It's flu season. I encourage you, double up on the vitamin C. Get plenty of rest and eat right. But to create a sudden, unreasoning fear is wrong. It's wrong. Untold devastation. The loss is going to be incalculable for what panic causes people. My message today is, in your own personal life, you got to stop panic. You as an individual have got to stop panic now, right now, and throughout the remainder of your days. You never allow panic to take over and then you start making decisions out of panic, because decisions made out of panic will cost you. It will cost you. In every situation, as always, we've got to go to the Word of God. What does God say about this? Here we are, the coronavirus. It's an unknown strand. Doctors, hospitals are not sure how to handle it. Anything that's unknown brings fear. That always brings fear. But the wrong thing is to create panic. Right now, we in America have got to step up, and we've got to stop this panic, and we got to start making wise decisions, not out of panic, but out of wisdom. I want you to know, in your personal life, decisions made out of panic will cause devastation. Did you hear what I said? Decisions made out of panic will cause devastation. Decisions made out of panic will cause devastation not only to you, but to many others that aren't even a part of the deal, that will never experience the deal, but they are devastated because of decisions made out of panic. You can't make decisions in your life because of fear. Okay, here we are. Coronavirus is all around us. Whew. Causing a little fear in my heart right now. You know, I mean, my goodness. I mean, you know, we can't be stupid. I mean, like, look around and, oh, whoa, it's causing a little fear. What do I do? I'm experiencing a little fear. I feel a little fear. I don't want to, but I feel a little. Okay, what do I do? What do you do is you go to God's Word and see what God's Word says. As a Christian, it's time for Christians to act like they believe what we preach. I'm telling you, as I wrestled and I was inundated with phone calls. You close the church, you close the church, you close the church. I was inundated with phone calls. Those phone calls coming. And in the situation that I'm in, if you have church, then you're mad by all of these people that are not here today. I can't believe pastor would subject people to this. Well, if you close church, then you got people that say, well, he preaches faith and he preaches healing, but he must not believe that. So there's a no-win situation here. But I got to make a decision. Are we going to have it or are we not going to have it? I can't stand up here and preach faith and preach healing and then run jumping a hole when sickness comes. Somehow that don't add up to me. The truth is, right now, we're about to find out, do you believe what you say you believe? Right now, I trust you, Lord, I trust you. Well, that's really good in worship with the lights on and the music playing. We're fixing to find out, do you trust God? Now we're going to find out, do you walk in faith? I'm a man of faith, I'm a man of faith. Okay, well, we're about to find out, are you a man of faith? See, it's times like these that reveal whether you are a professor of faith or you are a possessor of faith. And that's what we're facing right now in this nation. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. Oh, I got a little fear in my heart. I got a little fear in my heart. Okay. As I read 2 Timothy, fear is not of God. Okay? Being timid is not of God. Therefore, after reading this scripture, I'm not going to have fear in my mind. Fear, in the name of Jesus, you get out of my head. In the name of Jesus, you get out of my thoughts. Me and my family are surrounded by the blood of Jesus. We stand on the word of God. We're blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. And fear, you got to be somewhere else. You're either going to stand on the Word of God or you're not going to. And now's the time we're going to find out, are we going to? Last night, Terry and I went to Walmart for coffee creamer. Dave Ramsey would be highly disappointed in us. $137.70 we left later for coffee creamer, and the basket was full. Oh, I didn't know coffee creamer was so much. But I got to tell you, we walked by the egg aisle. There wasn't an egg on the shelf. I mean, the whole thing vacant. Walked up. I just had to walk up and down the toilet paper. I'll have been hearing all about it. There wasn't nothing on the paper. I mean, just blank shelves. And down at the end of the aisle, I walk, and out comes the little guy with that big rolling forklift, and it had a stack of toilet paper on it. People started running over there to it. He wasn't going to have to stock it. People started going over to it. I was in a position right then, I could have thrown an elbow and I could have knocked this woman out. I could have stepped in front of this guy like I used to do when I was boxing out to get a rebound, and I would have been in a perfect position to get me a stack of that toilet tissue. And all this was running through my head. Oh, box, step, box out, get the rebound. I mean, I went right back to my basketball days. Throw that elbow, swing your butt around, push back like this. Toilet paper's yours. Throw some elbows where they can't tie the ball up, and you go down the aisle. I was ready. Hey, I played basketball. I coached basketball. I know what to do. I'm ready to go. And then I started thinking about all the toilet tissue we already have in our house. We got plenty. That's one thing she never runs out of. Got plenty. I grew up in the country. Let me just tell you, that's not a concern of mine. Timmy Graves and I were talking. We both grew up in Sears and Roebuck catalog. There's a lot of things I'm concerned about, but that ain't one of them. So I'm standing here facing this, thinking about all of my moves. I'm thinking about how much toilet paper we have. And I had to ask myself, are you about to make a decision out of fear? Or are you making a decision because you need it? What are you about to do right now? Church, we can't make decisions out of fear. We can't make decisions out of fear. So when I read God has not given me the spirit of fear and timidity, then I can't walk in fear and timidity. If I do, I'm walking in something that is not of God. But here's what He has given me. He's given me power. He's given me love. And He's given me a sound mind. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk this week in power. I'm going to walk in love. And I'm going to walk in a sound mind. I'm going to walk in wisdom. That's what I'm going to operate in wisdom, in power, in love, and in a sound mind. Turn to Psalms 91 with me. Well, Tim, today I'm just telling you, it's got me. I've come in here today. I didn't even know whether to come. We talked about it. We're going to go to church. We're not going to go to church. I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to take some plywood and nail over our doors and windows and stay in the house. I mean, we're going to stay in the house. How long are we going to stay in the house? I mean, how much toilet paper do you need to buy? How long are we going to be? I mean, okay, well, but I don't know if we're going to go to church or not. I bet I'm here, but boy, Tim, I need some help. Fear's got me. It's rubbing off on me. Well, I got to turn to the Word of God. I got to turn to the Word of God. I got to find out. Do I need 100 rolls of toilet paper? Do I need to run out and get me 50 bottles of hand sanitizer? Look, Tim, you can't be an ostrich. Now, Tim, you just can't stick your head in the sand and act like this isn't going on around us. Now, you better be proactive. I am proactive. Turn to Psalms 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about my Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Don't be afraid of the terrors of night nor the arrow that flies in the day. Don't dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. 1,000 fall at your side. 10,000 are dying around you. But these evils will not touch you. Open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You'll trample upon lions and cobras. You'll crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I'll rescue those who love me. I'll protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my satisfaction. Before we get all excited about chapter 91, I need to call your attention to a glaring fact. This isn't for everybody. This is a promise that's not for everybody. Just because you've repeated a prayer doesn't mean this automatically belongs to you. Verse 1, it doesn't say, he who goes to church occasionally shall. It makes it very clear who it's been talked about. It's very clear who benefits from Psalms 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High. Those who dwell in the secret place. Those who find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Just because you've repeated a prayer, and I'm thrilled you have, but just because you've repeated a prayer doesn't mean you're living your life in the shelter of the Almighty. Verse 1, those who live. That word means dwell. That means make one's home, to reside, to make your habitation. It means to make your environment. Verse 16, I will reward with a long life. Well, what is long life? I remember very clearly when I was 7 years old, my dad was 29. I thought he had lived a long life. What is a long life? Is 60? Is 70? Is 90? Is 100? I was puzzled by that word until I looked it up. What does that word in the original mean? What does that word mean? You'll find this interesting. It wasn't a number of years. It means satisfy. Those who dwell in the shadow, in the shelter, those who dwell in the presence of God, He will satisfy you with the years that you have here on this earth. However many number that is, you will live satisfied. Satisfied. I remember my younger days in the field every summer hauling square bales of hay. It is a place where young people can go and know what hell will be like. I grew up there. That's why I'm scared to go there. I grew up in the deep pits of the eternal flames. That's a hay field. You haul hay in the summer, day in and day out. We had floats, big wagons, we called them floats, and we'd stack 250 bales on a float, and we would haul over 1,000 bales a day out, and there's no place that has the heat that a hay field has. It's unbelievable. And I did that day in, day out, summer in, summer out, hauling hay, hauling hay. And I remember the heat was like I have never experienced anywhere else in my life in that hay field. And we'd get that float stacked way up of hay, and I would get around and lay down when we would take a break. I'd lay in the shadow that hay cast. Now, when it's 115, it was probably 99, but man, that felt good. In the shadow of that hay wagon, it was an amazing feeling. When the sun would get right up above head, I would crawl underneath that hay wagon, and I'd sit under there to try to get me a few breaths. I know what it is to be in a shadow. I know what it is. Oh, today, you've got to find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I looked in the dictionary, and the word shadow means a definite area of shade cast on a surface by something that intercepts the light rays. A virus, it's caused fear. The media has caused panic. And now we need the Almighty God to intercept those rays that are trying to cook you alive. What do? I crawl in the shadow of the Almighty. What do? I crawl in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, because He is my refuge. He is my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in Him. Verse 3, He will rescue you from this media trap, and He will protect you from deadly disease. Oh, right now I'm thanking God that at this point in our history, that we in America have a president that is calling our nation to prayer. That our president has called our nation to prayer. And he said, our president has said, in times like these, we have always gone to God in prayer. Come on, God, I thank you for our president. Thank you that he is driving the helm. He is at the helm of this ship right now, a man that will call our nation to prayer. Verse 4, right now, I want you just to experience his feathers. Experience the sheltering of his wings. I want right now for you to feel the presence of God intercepting this panic, intercepting this fear, and covering you, protecting you. Come on, read on with me. Don't be afraid. Don't dread disease that stalks. Come on, let's see God. Let's see God. Verse 9, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, do I need to wash my hands? Absolutely. Do I need to cover my mouth when I cough? Absolutely. If I have a weak immune system, do I need to avoid crowds? Absolutely. The flu has always been very deadly to those with weak immune systems, and you need to use wisdom and walk very carefully. Walk very wisely. But far more important than canceling ball games and canceling concerts and canceling rodeos, the media now needs to say, let's make the Lord our refuge. Let's find our shelter in the Most High God. And today I'm grateful that our president has turned this nation to prayer, has turned this nation's focus today to God. Cover your mouth when you cough. If you've got a compromised immune system, stay home. But live your life in the shelter of the Most High God. And you find your shelter in Him. I'm going to ask our band to come out. Let's go on in Psalms 91, verse 14. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I'll reward them with long life, and I will give them my salvation. But let's don't stop. Let's read right on in chapter 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to the Most High. Oh, it is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, the melody of lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. Come on, church, we're going to live what we preach. We're going to act like we know what we talk about. This church believes in faith. This church believes in health. This church believes in the power of God. This church believes God is our refuge. That's the way we're going to live our life. And here's the way we're going to fight our battles. Come on, y'all, stand with me. We're going to fight our battles like this right here.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.